Good morning. Today is Thursday, March the 24th, 84th day of the new year. Joining us this morning. Now, are you from Redway?
Yes.
Are you from Arcata?
Redway. I'm just doing both jobs right now.
Uh-huh. It's split personality, CHP commander, Brett Fabry. Oh, that's got to be a little bit exciting. Two different personalities, two different offices, two different sets of challenges.
Yes, yeah. It's been going well, but it's a lot of work.
Good. Glad to know you're finally working a little bit there, bud. Let's see if we can find some kind of a quote here. Oh, this is almost along the lines of the management stuff we were talking about. It comes from George Chapman, Ben Johnson, and John Marston, who wrote Eastward Ho. Oh, pardon me, in a lawsuit, Eastward Ho, in 1605. The nagged colt may prove a good horse.
That's kinda, very well spoken.
Kind of, yeah. A little fancy for me sometimes, but not bad. So I don't think most folks understand the different cultures that different businesses have, even if it's common ownership.
Mm-hmm.
You're smiling because obviously you do, but just two different stores, two different personalities, same ownership, same systems, things are different.
Correct.
That's one of the challenges, I think, that the franchise operators have got. You maintain client expectations. If you go into a blank restaurant, it's the same, whether it's in Alabama or in Alaska.
Correct.
Bit of a challenge. Now, you got two offices, and the guys work together and in concert with one another. How different are the offices?
They're just different because you have different personalities. You know, Garberville is a very young squad down there. I get a lot of people right out of the academy. And then the Humboldt office has some people with some more experience. So they have different experiences to share. And it's very interesting to have that kind of dynamic. So, yeah, it definitely is just different personalities. We have the same goals and objectives, but the personalities are different.
I was going to ask you, do you have the same standards? Procedural standards,
yeah.
Process standards?
Yeah, the standards are all the same. The rules and policies are all the same, but it's just different people. And, you know, when you're a supervisor or a manager, that's what you deal with is different personalities and different people.
That's why you have a gun. We will answer the phone this way. And not at the same time to tighten things down so hard that people can't be people.
Right.
How do you find that sweet spot?
It's hard, but you want to trust your people. You want to trust that they know what they're doing and they're going to do the right thing. And you know, in law enforcement, that's what we're always focusing on doing, is trying to always do the right thing.
Oh, there are just a couple references I can make that nobody would make but understand, and you and I would be rolling on the floor at this point. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Brett Fabry.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Brett Fabry. Brett, the concept of all officers is something I think that's a little unique to military,
mm-hmm.
unique to your guys' jurisdiction, your calling, certainly fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fireman goes down, all firemen mourn. How does that come about? Where does that come from?
I think it's what's in you when you took on a job in law enforcement or in fire personnel or EMS, is that you are you have a public service mindset. You want to serve the public. And so when somebody pays that ultimate sacrifice, whether it's a firefighter or EMS or an officer somewhere, they paid the ultimate sacrifice in providing service to the public.
You guys get moved around fairly regularly. Or it seems as if
you
there's always that. Is there a lot more friendship because of that moving around? I'm sure you got guys that you've worked with that are in San Diego now. You couldn't go anywhere in the state and not know somebody on a department.
Correct. You get a lot of friendships because of where different places that you work, but that's in most professions. You know, you can develop friendships through training classes you might go to. Even if you've only worked for a small agency, maybe up here in Humboldt County, you might develop friendships from outside the agency or outside the area. Fortunately, with the Highway Patrol, I've worked in different areas, so you have friends that you develop in different places that you worked.
So when something happens, whether it's an officer death or something extraordinary, you're not particularly surprised that everybody comes in from all parts of the region to
be there. Yeah, I just went down to Nathan Taylor's funeral down in Roseville. He was struck and killed out on Interstate 80 near Gold Run. And the outcrying from law enforcement was it's tremendous, a law enforcement funeral. I saw people there from the East Coast, Florida Highway Patrol, Texas, and they just want to be there to show their respect for that officer who gave himself for public service.
Was it a goofy situation or just bad timing?
He was outside of his vehicle in the snow, helping out somebody who was involved in an accident. Another vehicle lost control and struck him in the roadway. He was flown out to Reno, and he died the next day.
So it was one of those really bad place, bad time. It was nobody's fault, so to speak.
Yeah, it's just one. You know, it's we have a dangerous job out there with cars moving pretty quickly, and sometimes we're out there with no protection. And in this case, Officer Taylor was struck and killed.
Is that why they had the asphalt, I guess, is what it's called, cut?
The rumble strips.
Yeah, so you guys can hear. Somebody told me so that you can hear if somebody's coming up and they're over too far. You can hear and have more advanced time to be able to react.
It works both ways. Yeah, you can hear people that are, you know, that hit the rumble strip. It's also a reminder to you that you are off the edge of the road. But, you know, a car that's moving 55, 60 miles an hour, you don't have time. I mean, you don't have time.
It doesn't give you enough to be able to turn and see.
To try to run. Yeah, it doesn't give you time.
Oh. Okay, urban legend.
I had a friend when I was working in L.A. who saw a car going out of control. He actually tried to leap down the embankment, and the car actually just struck his legs as he was airborne and spun him down the embankment. He was not injured severely, but he was just able to get out of the way.
That's about as close as you can get, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. How many officers are struck by vehicles unintentionally?
We have the Highway Patrol in its history has lost 226 officers, and I would estimate that probably at least half of those involve a vehicle, whether they were involved in a vehicle crash or whether they were struck by a vehicle. And every year, the amount of law enforcement officers that die in the nation, half of those or more involve a motor vehicle, whether they were involved in a crash, their fault or not, or being struck by a vehicle.
Do those numbers, or do I guess the percentages, change dramatically if you're a motorcycle cop versus what we see in our area?
No, actually, it really doesn't. I teach a class on officer safety that deals with how officers die in the line of duty. And it's not usually very often that it's a motor officer. It's usually a car cop that gets involved in a vehicle. But, you know, there's more car cops out there than there are motor officers.
Yeah, so the percentage would be up a little bit
yes.
higher for the other fellows. Are there any trends that are going on that are causing concern? I mean, other than just guys being killed or losing their life one way or the other, are there things that you're kind of starting to get the CHP's attention or all law enforcement?
No, I don't think there's anything different because, I teach this class and I go back and show the stats for the last, 4 or 5 years of how people have died in line of duty. And it's very consistent. It's over 50% involve a motor vehicle, and usually the other about 40% involve a firearm. And then the other, less than 10% fall into a couple different categories. But for the most part, it's motor vehicles, but we drive every day and we're around cars every day. So you can see how that number can be up.
So there are, it's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that 40% would have been handgun or rifle.
Yeah.
You didn't hear about, you hear about shootouts, certainly.
Yeah.
But it's rarely is there references to you guys being involved. They're normally shooting at each other, not at you.
Usually, yeah. I teach this class, and what we focus on is line of duty deaths, and there's a goal out there. It's called below 100. Trying to reduce the line of duty deaths to a number under 100, which hasn't happened since 1943, which if you think about that is a long time.
That's injuries or deaths in a year?
That's deaths nationwide. The closest we've gotten is about 109, but that's not happened since 1943 that under 100 officers have lost their lives. And you think about all the changes in automobiles and safety and body armor, different weapons that we have now, and we're still not able to get that number under 100 is it's very frustrating.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon. No.
Not yet.
Feel like it's there already. Yeah. I'd like to say it's the fog, but it's not that foggy out right now either. How about the drippy drizzle? It got to me. No? Okay, fine. Brett Fabry is with us. Brett, the whole concept of officer safety, worker safety on the roadways. Obviously, it's not designed for people to walk on most of the roads.
Correct.
And yet now we've got bike lanes all over the place. Do bicyclists get hit anywhere close to the rate that your folks do, that workers do, whether they're private or Caltrans or folks like that? Is that a new emerging area where people are distracted and will inadvertently, hopefully, contact people?
Yeah, I don't know what the numbers are, but we hope not. But I do know that we are trying to, improve safety through engineering by putting in bike lanes and rumble strips. And, in the corridor between Arcadia and Eureka, you have the red asphalt to kind of signify that, where that shoulder is.
Did you see that movie when you were going through the high school?
I did. Yeah.
Isn't it ironic that that's what they chose?
Yes.
Was red asphalt? Jeez.
I see in some cities they use green. Like in Santa Rosa, they use green around for bicycle lanes. But I don't know if there's an increase, but there's an increase of bicyclists. I know that.
Yeah, I still can't imagine riding a bicycle along the highway.
It scared me to death.
It just doesn't, I'm not going to stand out on a highway. I'm not going to walk along the highway. Just unless it's maybe the only way through, or highways in a loose term.
Yes.
It's not being used nearly with the frequency that we are here. As some of these different situations, whether it's a funeral or you hear about an officer death, come to mind, does it get you frustrated at the driving practices that you see day to day, hour to hour?
Absolutely. We were talking on the break about the amount of highway workers that have lost their lives doing work on highways here in California, and that number of highway workers is almost equivalent to the amount of CHP officers that have lost their lives enforcing the laws of California. And the parable there is that, you know, we're out, both out there on the highway, but they're not involved in other stuff that we are, but yet they're still getting struck out there. And
yeah, there are probably not too many that are shot.
Yes, they're not getting shot.
They're getting struck instead.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, a lot of times it's a distracted driver. I refer to him as a driver not paying attention, a frustrated driver. You know, people get very frustrated when they drive. And so when you couple all those things together, it only takes a split second to make a mistake and, you know, not paying attention to the cones. Maybe you're in too much of a hurry and something bad happens.
You know, I have had kind of a fantasy, those little orange sticks,
yes,
that are up,
uh-huh,
just to take one on.
We'll take you out on a driving course and you can hit one. How's
no that? I know what'll happen. I'll get over the middle of it. It'll be one of those that are cement filled and I'll just rip the bottom of the truck out of the whole way. Who, me? Probably isn't a viable defense at that point. So why are people just elsewhere in their heads? Is it the cell phone stuff? Is it fatigue? I mean, I everything gets blamed. Everything causes to one extent or one frequency or another. What do you see? I mean, if you had a top three, if you could eliminate, boom, which would have the three biggest impacts?
I think distracted driving is one of the biggest right now. Everybody has a smartphone or cell phone with them all the time. And, you know, you see people as you're driving through even traffic and you look over and you'll see them looking at the screen or typing a text message or talking on the phone. And we were talking about cell phones in general, that even if you're having a conversation using Bluetooth, you still are distracted because you a lot of times will not remember things that you've seen as you're driving and talking on your cell phone at the same time. It's a good test for you to take on yourself is try to think about cars you might have seen going in the other direction while you're having a conversation on your cell phone, and you may not.
So you got distracted driving is number one, or one of your three.
Speed. Well, people driving too fast.
Just flat out too much?
Driving too fast. You know, that's what happened with Nathan Taylor up in the Gold Run area. He had somebody who was driving too fast. For the conditions, yeah. Lost control in the snow. And you know, that's what you see a lot of times is people are driving too fast and they go off the road, they go off on the shoulder, and they can't correct that because of the speed that they're traveling.
Okay, I can count to three, bud.
Oh, you need one more?
Well, you said three.
People that are impaired, that's another problem. A lot of times when highway workers are struck or highway patrolmen are struck or other officers, a lot of times it involves an impaired driver, whether it's drugs or alcohol.
How about fatigue?
Fatigue plays a factor as well.
More of a compounding?
Yeah. You know, you compound, you going too fast, being tired, being impaired, you're talking on your cell
phone. On the cell phone, yeah.
So all three included with fatigue. So that's four.
Oh, boy. KINS, news and information time. It's 8:41. Always over-delivering. We'll be back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, news and information time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Brett Fabry. Brett, driving during fog, you know, it's tough, I think, for guys like us that grew up here to go, well, yeah, this is what you do. Realizing how large a percentage of our community didn't grow up here. How should you handle driving through fog? How should you handle driving through water? And we had the tsunami exercise yesterday. Mm-hmm. If that stuff comes to pass, or we just have a real good fog bank, what are you supposed to run with your lights on, even if you don't need them? Or does that cause distraction from the other guys coming in and catching them in the eyes? I mean, what are some of those basic principles to help cut through in this distractedness?
Yeah. So fog, low beams, you'll be able to see better when you're driving with low beams. But, you know, the thing about the weather here, whether it's fog or heavy rain, is people just need to slow down. You need to take your time. The difference between going 50 and 60 miles an hour might save you a minute. And so is that 1 minute worth your time? What if you get involved in an accident? That 1 minute is, can make a change in your entire life. But as far as water across roadways, if a water is moving across a roadway, it's probably not a safe place to cross because you don't know how deep it is. And if you go through there and your car stalls, the next thing you know, that water will push your car. The force of water crossing a road is a little more force than people think.
And I suppose you really don't have much of a variable there with the weight of your rig.
No.
I mean, if you're driving a cement truck, it's probably the same as if you're driving one of these little
pocket cars.
You
probably have a better chance in a cement truck, but they probably wouldn't cross there either.
But when it moves?
Yeah, when it starts. Whoa. Yes.
Those funny color lights, whether the blue ones or like a steel gray one that some people put in their rigs, I have a tough time driving into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy coming at me. Are those that much better for seeing if you're driving one of those rigs?
A lot of times those lights are actually illegal. So even though the company will say that they're legal in all states, they're usually not. So you might want to check with the Highway Patrol. We can usually tell you whether those lights are safe or not.
Manufacturer, stuff?
Yeah, the manufacturers, they'll tell you that they're safe because they're legal. But a lot of times they're not because they want to make money. You know, they want to sell that product and get you to buy it, but it may not be legal.
So do you get a fix-it ticket if you see one of those?
Yeah, we can fix it for you.
No, keep the baton in the rig. that may have been the old generation.
But,
huh?
But a lot of modified lights are not legal in California.
So just because it's aftermarket and being sold doesn't necessarily make it legal? If it's a California retailer?
Correct.
Not website stuff, but
yeah,
go down to blank auto parts.
Yes, yeah, so some can be illegal. A lot of times it's stuff you order on the internet.
That would make sense because, who knows. But I would be really exercised if I bought it from a retailer.
Yeah.
In state.
I like this. I think you should stick with what the manufacturer puts in the car. They do a lot of tests on stuff that they put in their cars, so probably more tests than some aftermarket manufacturers might do for some equipment.
Do you guys have an awful lot of activity with aftermarket product that causes problems? Or?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that put different stuff
probably
on
probably radar
there.
Stuff.
Radar stuff, but like tinted windows are a problem, because it makes it harder for you to see at night, and obviously it's illegal. People like to tint out the headlights and taillights of their car, which that's illegal as well.
What do you mean tint out?
They'll put black covers over the top of the taillights and headlights.
So they don't work?
No, they just look different.
Oh,
they're darked out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a Mercedes, one of the small wagons last night, coming in, and maybe the front window was normal, but everything else was black. And you couldn't tell if there was a driver.
Yeah, window tinting across the front. They'll put a big window tint across the top of the windshield. That's illegal. Lighting underneath your car. A lot of people sometimes put lighting underneath the car along the frame and stuff. That's illegal as well.
Boy, glad you know what's going on.
Apparently we take all the fun out of it.
Yeah, you turkey. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Brian.
See you tomorrow morning.